smells like Magic the Amateuring.
Tastes like Magic the Amateuring.
Looks like Magic the Amateuring.
Feels like a porcupine.
It loves like a woman.
Welcome back to another episode of Magic the Amateuring. I'm Ben. I'm your host.
I'm Maria. I'm your Holy Ghost.
And we're two-thirds of the Trinity, and guess who's dead?
Megan.
Yep, God's dead, and God's name is Megan. Megan, our normal co-host, is not here with us this week.
No.
She is at a wedding in Texas, and, you know, people are getting married in Texas. Uh-huh. I assume she's firing guns into the air.
Yes.
As is per their custom traditions.
Yep. Eating a burrito while we're on horseback.
Tex-Mex.
Yep. Also a common wedding tradition in Texas.
But we've still got the other two. I'm Ben. I taught Maria how to play magic. I taught Megan how to play magic.
You did.
About a year and a half ago.
Yes.
And now Megan has used that to go back to Texas. And Maria's still here.
Here I am, guys.
This week we're going to talk about Grand Prix Minneapolis.
Oh!
Which we just were at and experienced.
Oh, you guys, we just got through experiencing it literally seconds ago.
It's still fresh. I'm still squeegeeing the experience off of my skin.
Oh, I'm still picking it out of my belly button.
We're also joined by special guest, Matthias Hunt. Say hi, Matthias.
Hey there. Hi. How's it going?
Welcome back, Matthias. Matthias. Thanks. Is a pro player. He's also local, so he was kind enough to stop by and fill in for the absence
of Megan.
Of Megan Wolf. Do you think Megan's going to listen to this episode?
Oh, she could. Like on her flight back, she could be listening to it.
Let's put in
a special nugget.
Yeah, let's put in a nugget.
Okay.
So that we can tell whether or not she's listened.
Oh, okay. Would you have a nugget ready?
I've got so many prepared nuggets.
Oh my god, you guys. I hope you're enjoying our cast so far. If you're not, you've probably already turned it off. Our show is for magic learners, veterans returning to the game, and anybody who likes to have a chuckle about magic. So on our show, we're going to talk about GP Minneapolis. We've got a card of the week for you and a great for the noobs.
Mm.
So stick around. For the noobs, graveyard strategy. Ooh, spooky dead zombie people.
Is this like if you're new to dating?
Yes.
And you're trying to go all the way, you take your date to the graveyard to scare them into sleeping with you? You know,
scare
like you
what do you mean you know? No, I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Is that a thing?
You know, like if you're in a scary situation with someone.
Oh, right.
Tension's high.
Like you want, like you're trying to falsely fire the endorphins.
I'm not saying like you force them, like you intimidate them into sleeping with you.
What are you saying?
I'm saying you're like, oh, hey, let's go for a walk. Oh, it's so scary out here, I know.
So like that's why you go to a horror movie with somebody, because you want to put your arm around them when they're scared.
Sure. I don't really like horror movies though.
But I'm telling you, it's a tried and true strategy.
Oh, has that worked for you?
So many times. No, Ben, actually, graveyard strategy is
a
kind of deck you can play.
Oh, new archetype?
Yeah, sure. Let's call it that.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, in Limited, it's where you focus on getting your own cards into the graveyard and doing some crazy shenanigans because of that.
Have you ever heard of a card called Spider Spawning?
Yes, I have. And it spawns some spiders?
Yeah, this is an old card from Innistrad.
Okay.
That there was a sweet deck you could build around it where
your
goal is to get a whole bunch of cards in your graveyard, and then you could flash this back from the graveyard, and you just put a million spiders out, because it would put a spider out for every creature that was in your graveyard.
Oh, did you ever do it, Ben?
Oh, I certainly did.
How did it feel?
I had like 10 spiders.
That's a lot of spiders. That's one spider for every finger you have. But
yes.
Not as many as toes as you have, because you have an extra toe.
I do. Mm-hmm. I keep it in a locket.
Around the neck of your true mother, who you are still searching for.
Wait, what?
Like when you were where maybe you found yeah. like your true mother and you're like, I'm going to find her again one day because she left again. So you cut off your toe, you put it in a locket, you gave it to her, and you're like, this will help me find you.
So I gave it. I'm just having a problem understanding the chronology of this hypothetical.
Have you seen Annie?
No.
They don't do it in that.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Now that makes sense.
Why a toe?
Okay, so you actually...
It's the most romantic body part, Matthias.
Marie, you actually played... You did a draft.
Yes, I did.
Where you played this or attempted to play this archetype.
Attempted is the right word. So, yeah,
You were green-black.
I was green-black.
The colors of the graveyard.
Golgari. Yes, because moss and rot are the two colors of the graveyard.
Yeah. Life and death.
Those are the two tattoos you have.
That's moss and rot.
Yeah.
On my knuckles. No. On my knuckles.
Oh, wow.
And then an exclamation point.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what was the first card that I picked in this draft. But I was past the Nyx Weaver spider.
Ooh, that seems like a sassy slice of melon.
It was a green card that I first picked. That's what I recall. And then I was past that, and I was like, you know what? This is GP Minneapolis. I'm playing a side event. Let's get saucy.
I just want to read Nyx Weaver because everything about this card is amazing.
Okay. Basically
everything about it is remarkable.
Okay.
Nyx Weaver, enchantment creature, spider, 2/3, costs 1 black green. So it's a 3 mana 2/3, already perfectly acceptable, but there's more.
Oh, are you throwing in a knife set?
I'm throwing in Reach. How about you just block any flyer you want? You block a Vaporkin, you block a Windrake.
It's a spider. It's like their tribal thing.
It's like, it's part of their union agreement. They have to have Reach. And at the beginning of your upkeep, put the top two cards of your library into your graveyard.
Why would I want to do that, Ben?
It sounds like a drawback, right?
It does.
Can't that make you lose?
Yeah, milling yourself?
Okay, so maybe, you know, sometimes some cards might be like, oh, this will be synergy with other cards. But this card, it's just all on the card. Because if you pay 3 and exile Nyx Weaver, you return target card from your graveyard to your hand.
There it is.
So basically, this starts as a 2/3 reach spider. Mm-hmm. And then once you get bored of that, just turn it into any other card that you've milled.
What?
Yeah.
Wouldn't I just rather draw that card? I'm playing Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, yes. You would probably rather
client, the devil, here wasn't even around at the time of the murder.
You'd probably rather draw that card.
Okay.
Just like you would probably rather never be on trial for murder in the first place. But if you are on trial for murder,
why not?
Wouldn't you love to spend 3 mana to turn yourself into someone else?
And escape?
Yeah.
Only don't turn yourself into another murderer.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could use your Nyx Weaver to return another Nyx Weaver from your graveyard to your hand.
Now, he exiles himself so that you can't do that forever. It's really sad.
You can't loop him.
You can't loop him. I'm not sure why you would, but you can't loop them. No, Nyx Weaver is really interesting because it actually does something that the black-green cards normally can't do. First of all, he's not just getting a creature from the graveyard, which is what a lot of black-green stuff does. He can get any cards. He can get a sorcery.
A planeswalker.
I returned a straight-up kill spell with him.
Yeah, and actually, that's like what you do a lot with him.
Spell?
Mm-hmm.
I think when you also, the advantage of getting a card back instead of just trying to draw the card is that if half your deck's in your graveyard, this is almost like a demonic tutor. You're just picking any card from your entire deck to have in your hand right now.
And that's a very powerful effect. If you can, because imagine how many games where you're like, well, there's this one card that's going to help me win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's basically like you're drawing, you have 2 extra shots every turn to hit that card.
Okay. Nyx Weaver. That's just in general why.
In general, that's why one of the powers of graveyard strategy is that when you can pick
your whole graveyard. It's just right there for you.
You're picking your draws.
Nice.
It's like, you know how... You don't know what's going to happen in the rest of your life, Maria.
But what if I could see my own death? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like...
And I could pick which death I wanted?
Yeah, and you can pick.
I pick a hug from a bear.
And a lot of the graveyard cards are actually costed really aggressively when you compare them to what they would do if it was coming from your deck. So, like, Rescue from the Underworld, for example, costs 5, and it will get any creature back. Now, if you had a card that was just, like, for 5 mana, saves one of your creatures, and the next creature you draw is free, no matter what it is. Like, that's a pretty good card. Like, Marshal Returned is like, divination that only draws creatures.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So, like, these are really good cards. You know, maybe you have to make some work, to do some work to make them playable, but they're really powerful in the strategy.
So how did this deck perform for you, Maria? And what were some of the key players? What else do you have in this deck?
Sure. I had the Nyxweaver Spider. Tell me another card. Oh, yeah, the 2/4 Spider, who you can pump.
Grave Digger?
Grave Robber.
Grave Robber Spider, that's him. And, like, some Death Touchers, the Black Snake Death Toucher, and the Scorpion.
That Death Toucher seems pretty sweet, because then you trade for any other thing and it pumps up your Grave Robber Spider.
Right.
You want to get that shit back, just trade in your Nyxweaver.
The Satyr Wayfinder, I had a couple of those guys to get stuff in my graveyard. I had the 1/3 who, when he dies, he mills you and your opponent 3.
Ooh.
You know, not a great card, but I was like, let's try the synergy plan, you know? I've never actually really played a Golgari graveyard strategy deck before. I mean, maybe in other limited formats it wasn't as, you know.
You never did it in RTR?
I think I cannot remember doing it. Like, I was probably too scared.
You were probably like, well, if I had black cards,
one red chicken. I could play them with green or red. It's a tough choice.
I think I'll play Rakdos. Thank you for asking. So I've never really tried it before, so I wanted to try it.
Mm.
And it was actually kind of like, it was really kind of cool. But unfortunately, you guys, I'm so embarrassed right now. I'm going to tell you what happened. Oh, I don't want to say it.
Maria, it's okay. We're all...
It's called a self-mill strategy.
We have...
Perhaps there's a drawback to it.
You guys, I milled
myself. Do you want me to turn off... Myself. Oh my God, Maria, no.
I milled myself.
So you actually lost a game because you could not draw a card.
Correct. My opponent was just like...
This is actually kind of funny. One of the dangers of playing self-mill is, like, your opponent's playing black-green mill, right? Like, one of the best strategies against self-mill is to start milling them.
Yeah,
like, is you play blue and you're like, oh, you wanted to mill yourself? Well, let's do it really fast. Like, if they mill themselves down to 8 cards and you get, like, the other 8, then they just lose.
I think, you know, I was too focused on, I really need my kill spell in there. I really need it.
Yeah.
You
made a plan.
I lost
sight. And you stuck to the plan.
Yes, I did. To the bitter end of me.
Hmm.
But anyway, so I guess I just wanted to, you know, ask, what should you be focusing on? I mean, is it just trying to get stuff into there?
Well, first of all, you want to have a sense of...
You probably want to be control-y.
When you play the Grave Robber Spider, you are putting yourself on a clock. So you want to have some idea of what that clock is. So you do occasionally want to count the cards in your graveyard.
Yeah.
Divide by 3, and that's how many turns you have left. And now
wait, what?
Yeah, think about it. You draw a card every turn.
Yeah.
And you're milling 2 cards off the Nyxweaver.
Yeah.
So that's the number of turns you have to die.
No way.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, with Nyxweaver, you just have... The cool thing Nyxweaver at least can put on the brakes. Like,
yeah.
Once you're like about 8 cards, maybe you need to sack the Nyxweaver.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and like, yeah. Once you're about halfway through your library, you've probably seen most of the good stuff.
And if you haven't gotten it yet, just give up.
And if you think about the normal curve of a deck, there's probably going to be something in there that's, you know, worth more than a 2/3 reach, you know, a 3 drop, even a good 3 drop.
So the best way to set up, like the easiest way to set up a self-mill deck is to build it around a bomb. So I remember when I was playing just regular Theros, like I'd have a deck where I got an early Whip of Erebos. I'm like, well, this card's insane. So now suddenly I could play like Commune with the Gods or Return Centaurs. That guy's not even good. And I can mill myself, but if I pick up a Farika's Mender, well, I'm like, okay, well now all I need is March of the Returned, you know, a Rescue from the Underworld, and be like, well, then I'll use that and get Farika's Mender. He'll get back Whip of Erebos, then I'll always have the Whip of Erebos every game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, using self-mill to just be like, I'm going to mill my bomb and then get my bomb back is like a, probably, I think, the easiest way to start doing it.
Yeah. Because you're just increasing the number of games where you actually have the option of casting that bomb, which is always good. I mean, what's the worst thing about having a bomb in your deck?
Not drawing it.
Exactly. Wouldn't you love to draw it?
I would. I really would.
Here you get another chance.
Side note, I saw somebody who had a pool. I played a sealed today, and somebody had a pool that had the Nyx Weaver Spider and Farika.
Oh man, Farika's... I haven't played with Farika Unlimited yet.
I was like, that seems like a nice combo.
So, what are some cards in this set that do things? There's Farika, obviously... That's going to be really
her
good.
Mender. She's got a mender doing her hemming her pants.
There's Reviving Melody. This is the green card for three, where you can return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand and or return target enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand.
Right.
So here's an example of where you have a... This is like having divination, assuming that you've milled cards into your graveyard. So here's a card where you get the benefit from milling all those cards. And having a card like this means you're going to want to have, you know, 2 to 4 ways to actually get those cards in your graveyard. So things like the Nyx Weaver, things like the Wayfinder that'll put cards in there, any of the random black creatures that'll mill when they die, for example, that sort of thing.
Yeah. With that card in particular, you want to look for things like Weight of the Underworld. Like, you want to make that enchantment half of it really good. Mm. So, like, if it's a kill spell enchantment, like Weight of the Underworld, or even, like, if you're playing blue, something like Font of draw two cards, Font of whatever. These enchantments that tend to put themselves in the graveyard anyway are like they go up in value as you do that strategy.
What's the Font of Return? The black font is that?
That's three raised deads. If you're going real deep on milling yourself, that card. Well, I mean, that card's incredible, right? What?
Sure.
I mean, raised dead three things. That's drawing three cards. It's great, but you have to. I mean, I would say, like, what has to be going on for that card to do anything is pretty high. Like, first of all, you have to have a deck where you regularly have three creatures in your graveyard.
And I suppose you have to go really deep if you actually want to get that card back.
If I'm like, oh, man, well, I had these
three just wasn't enough.
I had these three said scorpions. I traded them all. Then I sacked this font and got them back. Then I traded them all, and I'm like, man, I need more said scorpions. So I got back the font, and I did it all again.
Amazing.
If you play as many Sedge Scorpions as they have creatures in their entire deck, and then you get like a Fleet Feather Sandals, you can just trade until they're out of things.
But if you had an enchantment like Nyx Infusion, which gives non-enchantment creatures -2/-2, you use that, kill their 2-drop or their 3-drop, and like, oh, I'm just going to get that back. Also get one of my things back.
Don't put that on an enchantment creature. Just saying, I did that.
Unless it's your own.
I might have lost the game to that one.
Unless it's your own.
But yeah, I mean, that's probably even not really what you want to be doing with it.
Yeah, probably not. But another good play is you could put this on some larger creature and then trade with one of your worst creatures. And like, oh, now I'm going to get my creature and this enchantment back. Boom.
Sounds pretty sweet.
So, Maria, do you think your deck had too much enablers or not enough enablers or too much gas, too much flame, too much fire, too much oxygen, too much rust?
Yeah. Too much fire for sure. I milled myself a little too much. I needed more rates of return.
Okay.
That was my problem.
And maybe more, like, powerful cards to get back.
Yeah, that's probably true. Like, I wanted an Essie and Asp, and I didn't have one.
In general, you just don't have that much control over what those powerful cards are, right? You kind of want to start with, like, oh, here's my bomb.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have a light theme, but you're not prioritizing those cards very highly. And then, oh, once you get a bomb or some powerful cards in your belt, no, we're talking discotech.
Yeah, I returned Spiteful Blow. That's what I returned. Oh, okay. I'm remembering.
Yeah. The thing is there aren't many cards in the set that actually play out of the graveyard. Like, there aren't things with flashbacks. When you're milling yourself, you're generally just, like, putting cards in the graveyard. So if you don't have, you know, your Raised Dead card in your hand already. If you don't have anything in your hand that matters about the graveyard, then your self-mill cards are kind of just milling yourself. So you need to have enough cards that care. You can't just mill yourself. Like in Innistrad with spider spawning, you could just mill yourself because spider spawning had flashback. So you just put stuff in the graveyard and then it would just be waiting for you there.
Yeah.
But you actually have to have a piece, the thing to start the chain has to be in your hand in this set.
So you need a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I need my passport and, my birth certificate.
Yeah, exactly.
And where are we going?
We're going to graveyard town.
We're flying overseas with our birth. We need our birth certificate.
I was just thinking of an I-9 where you need, something from column A and something from column B.
Or a passport. That does both.
Okay.
Are you going to try to draft this again? Are you looking forward to that?
Yes, I will. I will try and draft again. I mean, if it happens, I'll let it happen. I'm not going to force it. I forced it a little bit, you guys, but it was okay.
Okay. What's your goal for this deck?
My goal for this deck is to win with it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to draft it successfully because I think it's tricky, and
You want to get a bomb out of your graveyard. You want to draw that bomb and be like, I got that bomb for free.
Yeah. Okay. I want to win with it, and I want to be smart about playing it.
This seems like a mana intensive deck. This seems like a deck where you want Fanta Fertility and shit like that to ramp up.
You not die while you're doing all this. Yeah. They everything you're doing costs a million mana when you're playing this deck.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay.
So stock up on those Golden Hinds.
Oh, yeah. I've got so many in my freezer.
If you want to have real fun and want to go for the infinite grindy deck, you can play blue and you can commune with the gods into Mnemonic Wall and use Mnemonic Wall to get back March of the Returned and then get rid of the Mnemonic Wall and then March of the Returned, the Mnemonic Wall and something else and then Mnemonic Wall for March of the Returned.
Matthias, you actually lost 7 turns ago.
I mean, if I didn't lose, everything's coming back. That's just happening. I don't know how I didn't lose, but I'm having a lot of fun. I'm going to play all my cards many times.
Does Matthias know he's dead?
I don't think he does. Shut up. Don't tell him. If we wake him up from this, he'll get violent. It's like a sleepwalker.
I call that strategy the full grind.
It's the same strategy I have on the dance floor. GP Minnesota or Minneapolis. What are they called?
The same thing as Minneapolis.
Okay.
Could be GP Minnesota.
You guys, there's a GP in our home city this weekend.
There was.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's over.
It's over now. But it's over now.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a modern format. I did not play in it, but you two played in the main event.
I did.
Tell me a little about what you played and how it made you feel.
Well, longtime listeners of the show might remember that in the last Modern Grand Prix that I played in...
Quick trivia moment. Who can guess what it was? Okay, it's over. You either said it or you didn't.
It was Kansas City. I played Nivix Blitz, which is a deck that is centered around cards like Kiln Fiend and Nivix Cyclops that get a power bonus when you cast an instant or sorcery.
Okay.
And so the normal way the deck wants to win is on on turn 3 or 4, play Assault Strobe, which gives a creature double strike, and Artful Dodge, which makes a creature unblockable, and has flashbacks. You can actually, if you play those three spells, Assault Strobe, Artful Dodge, Flashback, Artful Dodge, then you have a 10 power double striker.
Sure.
That is unblockable, which in most games of Magic is good enough.
Yeah, but that seems how often are you going to have that?
I would say 110% of the time.
No,
that's a good deck.
No, it does not always work. It's a little, it's somewhat fragile, but I had a lot of fun playing it last time, and so I wanted to play it again.
Yeah,
and that was my goal, was to have a lot of fun, and I had most of the cards already. So, I'm not a huge competitive constructive player, and this is only the second tournament I've ever played Modern in. So I was like, hey, I'm just going to do what I know. Just going to do what I know.
And was it fun?
It was very fun.
Did you kill anybody like you mentioned?
Oh, I did.
Oh, cool.
I did 26 damage in one turn.
Nice.
It was saucy.
Matthias, what did you play?
Oh man, so I had to pick which combo deck to play. I also played Kansas City. That was my last Grand Prix.
You're a combo man.
I just play combo decks. I don't know why you would want to play less spells in a turn when you could play more.
Yeah, man.
So I go for that other, the more side.
Yeah.
I lost in Kansas City. I played Scapeshift and I lost playing for top eight. And so I figured I really like Scapeshift, but I went to my other kind of combo standby modern. I played Storm this time. Because it's like a little faster, a little more powerful. You can kind of disrupt it more, but it's probably just like a more unfair deck. I won 6-3 in day two, and then Scapeshift won the tournament. So
you're like, whoops. Whoops.
You know.
Whoops.
Yeah, I was telling people, like, why aren't you playing Scapeshift? I'm like, I just don't think it's powerful enough to take down a tournament. That's actually what I was telling people.
No.
Yeah, whoops. Okay.
Matthias, you don't need to admit that. You can say, I said I knew Scapeshift was going to win, but I am a better man than that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Scapeshift's too easy to win a GP with Scapeshift.
You
got to
do it with Storm because you want to work for it.
Because when you win, you want your opponent to have no clue what you're doing.
Right. Like, wait, how many spells?
That's why I was terrified to play Modern in this tournament. Some people were like, just play a deck. And I was like, I do not want to have no idea what my opponent is doing in front of me.
That's why you play stuff like Amulet Bloom at the Pro Tour. Nobody knows what you're doing, including yourself. Like,
including the commentators.
The commentators, like, I didn't really know what I was doing. It's great. They're just like, what is this deck doing? I think it's winning.
I remember that. That was awesome. Pro Tour Theros? No, Pro Tour Born of the Gods?
Yeah. It's like, well, it's the fifth land I've played this turn. That's good, right? Probably.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah,
probably. So Scapeshift won. What's that deck's deal?
That deck turns lands into different lands. No. Ooh. It's a slower combo deck. It uses Valakut and the card Scapeshift.
Valakut says, Valakut the Molten Pinnacle enters the battlefield tapped. Whenever a mountain enters the battlefield under your control, if you control at least five other mountains, you may have Valakut the Molten Pinnacle deal 3 damage to target creature or player.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're in Mountain Town, it's time to get down.
I'm always in Mountain Town.
The secret is deck's not really in Mountain Town. It's a blue-green combo deck.
What?
It just plays a bunch of dual lands because all the lands from Ravnica just happen to be mountains on top of everything else.
Okay.
So it's cool because you're it's a slow combo deck. Your fastest kill is turn 4. You're more like a turn 5 or 6 combo deck.
Whoa, 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 whoa. How are you killing someone on turn 4 when you need 5 other mountains?
Well, you have a lot of ramp spells.
Okay.
And the key to the deck is that all you need is this card Scapeshift, and you need to have 7 lands in play. And if you have that, you can sack all 7 lands, get a Valakut, and 6 mountains, and each of those mountains will deal 3. So you'll deal 18, and people tend to hurt themselves a bit in Modern, so that's probably good enough.
Oh, so Scapeshift lets you sack lands and then search for other lands and put them into play.
You turn lands into different lands.
Oh.
Like, nice. 6 mountains and a Valakut.
And the way the rules work, if they all come into play at the same time, they all see each other coming into play.
Hi.
It's kind of like if you walk into a restaurant at the same time as everyone you're meeting.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for anyone. You can just eat right now.
No, I'm sorry. There's a 25-minute wait for a table.
Oh, God.
You can't just fucking walk in here with 10 people.
This is the last time I come to the Olive Garden.
Well, we don't want you.
Scapeshift is good for 2 reasons. First, I would say it's a 1-card combo. All you have to do is resolve the card Scapeshift and you have to have some lands in play, but like...
That's true for most combos.
Well, a lot of combos you have to do like
more
than 1 card. So like when I cast Scapeshift, I can have my own counter spells to protect my spell. Yeah. So that's pretty sweet. And also because the combo kills using lands, it's very good against counter spells because you can't counter people playing lands.
No, you can't.
Like, the deck, it doesn't use the graveyard. It doesn't play more than 1 spell in a turn if it doesn't need to. It doesn't flash anything back. It doesn't search creatures out of its deck. So, like, a lot of the hate cards that people play, Scapeshift doesn't care.
Wow.
I learned there's a deck called Hate Bears.
Yeah, those are full of...
Is that what Stephen Colbert plays, do you think?
Oh, man. That was myself. Really bad.
What the fuck is Hate Bears, Maria?
I heard it was 2/2s that are annoying.
Yeah, it's a bunch of 2/2s for 2 that are really annoying.
Like what?
I don't know.
Thalia, Lane and Arbiter.
Oh my god. Thalia ruined.
Aven Mind Sensor. It's not. It's like an honorary bear. It costs 3.
Thalia ruined me.
Honorary bear.
Yeah. It's a bird bear. It's a bird wizard, actually.
Bird bear. A bird bear.
I don't know if there are any bird bears.
Did you know that Lamia is a new creature type this set?
I did. A Lamia?
Lamia. I don't know how to say it.
Like
but
Llama?
Thought render no. Lamia or
oh,
it is a new creature type.
Is that a real thing or did they just make up a word and then put it on creatures?
I feel like it's probably a real thing.
Okay. I mean, it's from myth.
Yeah.
So it's not a real thing, but it's been not a real thing for thousands of years.
So we just treat
yeah.
it like it's
yeah,
real.
Yeah, well, let's act like it's real.
Okay.
Yeah, hate bears. Like plays Gaddock Teague too. So like one card, like the cards will mean make it so your opponent can't shuffle, make it so that their spells cost more. They can't play spells that cost more than 4. They do really
a lot of
things.
These things happen to me.
You're having some flashbacks.
Yes.
A couple suppression fields.
Yeah, I definitely did not have the opportunity to search my deck.
No, can't search your deck.
You
have to pay extra
probably,
mana.
Did you need to search your deck?
Well, my opponent passed one of my creatures, and I would have liked to search my deck for the basic land, but I did not have that option.
What's pathed?
Path of to Exile. Exiles target creature, okay. And then you can search your library for a basic land. Unless you can't, in which case you don't.
Damn, they gotcha.
Yeah.
All they have to do is play a 2-2 for 2 in Modern.
Yeah. Ooh. Whoa.
Well, there are a lot of side events going on in this GP as well, and we played some really interesting new ones
this
weekend.
I didn't win the main event.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, well, I was.
But I did win. I did win a side event.
I bought you a cake that says congratulations for winning GP Minneapolis.
Just get out the frosting gun and just carve an 8-man side event draft into that cake, and it'll be a perfectly accurate cake.
It's the cake is in the shape of a thumbs up.
Nice.
Which, viewed at a wrong angle, it doesn't look like that. Anyway.
So I played an 8-man draft, and I took it down, and that felt good.
Yeah,
so it was
awesome.
Good. My policy is play till you win.
Yeah, that's a good casino policy.
Although, technically, I did that on Friday before the event, so I should have just went home.
What colors did you play?
I played a blue-green. It was a Journey to Nyx Theros block draft. And I drafted a blue-green deck. It was pretty. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Had some decent cards in there, and I had a few all-stars that really put me over the edge. I played against a slower blue-black deck, and I got a Prognostic Sphinx out.
Nice.
Really, Prognostic Sphinx did most of the work for me.
You hardly did anything. Wow.
But you know what's great after you've been scrying 3 for multiple turns in a row?
What?
To cast the spell, Interpret the Signs.
Oh.
You know this one? This is the 6-mana sorcery that says scry 3, then reveal the top card of your library. Draw cards equal to that card's converted mana cost.
How many did you draw, Ben?
The first time I drew 6 cards.
Oh, no big deal.
Second time I just drew 4.
Uh-huh.
Both times, that was good enough. The first time I revealed a card, Rise of Eagles. This is my other card of the week.
We haven't even done card of the week yet.
We're doing it now.
God. Okay.
Anyway, I'll tell my card of the week story later. The deck was blue-green, and it just kind of had a bunch of bomby cards and some ramp in it. You guys know the drill.
Yeah.
If you see a bomb, take the bomb. If you see a golden hind, take that golden hind.
You know...
I also had 2 Kiora's Follower, which was pretty...
I really like
not bad.
Juicy. It's pretty
God,
juicy.
This deck sounds amazing.
I didn't have a lot of ways to abuse it, per se, but untapping stuff's pretty much always good.
I think
good.
You don't
if
need to abuse
if
that.
If you're playing lands, you probably have good ways to abuse it.
Guys, if you get them out together, you can go infinite.
We just need something that cares.
Yeah, no one cares that you're going after him. But you can.
But you do.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I can't come up with it, but I'm sure
it's just like they're doing a little dance.
You just tell your opponent that you're untapping these creatures several thousand times, and they'll know.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun to do it online, though. Like, just like for, like, you know, a few turns.
Yeah.
Just have your opponent be like, what the fuck?
Get out of my bed.
Go get a drink. Wait. Make a sandwich.
You're playing your opponent in Magic Online in bed?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I project it onto the ceiling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you have two screens going on up there?
No. It's a projector.
Oh, I was assuming your opponent was in bed with you.
No. Oh. That would be weird. What are the odds that you randomly get paired with someone who's in bed with you?
I think you could join the same draft.
Oh, okay, sure.
That's not bad.
Maria.
What?
Did you play any side events?
I sure did. That's all. I almost hit something off the table. That's all I did, in fact, because I didn't play the main.
Ah.
So I played some drafts, and I played something that was pretty unique and fun called Sealed Draft.
Ooh, what?
What? People were talking about it,
aren't
and I was like,
opposites?
What are you playing? And they were like, Sealed Draft, and I'm like, they just don't know how to say draft.
Isn't that chocolate vanilla? Isn't that like chocolate vanilla?
Like a swirl cone?
Or like...
It's called Twist.
What?
Chocolate
Ooh.
Vanilla, it's Twist.
Was it a twist? Was it a twisty cone?
It was a twist cone. And what it is a combination of sealed and draft.
Okay.
So you get three packs, one of each from the set, and you open them like you would in a sealed pool.
Okay, so far I'm not freaking out.
And you just look at them and you're like, oh, look at these guys. And then you draft three more packs as if you were doing a draft. And in the end, that is your pool.
What?
You guys, I was like, this
sounds... That's going to be really good.
So it's like a draft, except you start... Knowing that you have three packs already?
Yep.
Blah, 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 blah.
I thought I was like, this sounds like crazy and dumb and weird, but then I was like, whatever, I'm going to try it. And I loved it, you guys, because it's really cool, because if you're sealed, sometimes your sealed pool is just like, you know.
This needs a little something extra. There's just one card the sealed pool needs to really put it over the top.
Just another return centaur.
Just to get this little more mill,
I need another return centaur.
So, like, the benefit is that you can kind of dodge what some people say is, like, oh, it's luck and sealed. You know, it's not. But sometimes you get the pool you get, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, with this, you can do something about it. Now, you should probably still stay open in the draft, I believe. But you can at least go in, like, knowing what direction you want to go in and see, you know, what you get.
And what was your story? What direction?
I drafted Izzet and built Izzet. And yeah, we did.
What made you want to do Izzet?
I had, my blue was my strong color and red was what was coming to me in the draft.
Oh, wow.
So what I had were the 3-4 chimeras that are flying.
Riptide
no,
chimera.
No, Riptide.
Oh, okay.
And the flavor text is, I want one, Kiora. And they added your upkeep. You have to bounce an enchantment back to your hand.
And it's an enchantment creature.
It is. And so I drafted two of those and a lot of cantrips. So most notably, Dragon Mantle.
Ooh.
So that was really fun. I was going off, like, just drawing cards.
How many cards you draw?
So many cards.
How many cards you draw?
Probably like 12.
All of them. Don't draw them all. It's just like the self-mill deck.
You guys, I milled myself again. I split the finals with that draft, with that deck. It was really cool. I was also proud of my performance in a straight-up sealed event where I did 5-3. Not quite good enough for top 16.
Whoa, come on.
But almost.
Bring it back.
Almost. But you guys teamed up for a fun event. What was it called again?
The Trio GP.
It was a Team Trio.
Team
event.
Trio.
Yeah.
Team. Why was it called Team Trio?
Well,
there's three of you.
I played drums.
And you played. What did you play with us?
Did bass. Both bass. Yeah, I was a backup.
Yeah, he was laying it down.
That was my favorite thing. It was so sad.
Someone's got to play bass.
Like, you didn't even make yourself lead guitar.
I wish.
Played the bass.
And on lead vocals and sick shreds was our friend Sean, who joined us.
Sean. So
the way it worked is we each got a what was it, like a Return to Ravnica block.
A pre-release box. Like way too many boosters for Team Sealed.
It was so weird.
Yeah, so you remember the pre-release for Return to Ravnica, they had a theme pack from each guild.
Right.
And we were given these randomly. We did not get to choose. I believe these were leftover. We got some leftover boxes. But we opened up a shit ton of cards.
Yeah, God.
And then we chopped them up into three evenly portioned decks.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
were they really evenly portioned?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So normally we get 12 boosters in Team Sealed, but we get 18, which means everyone's deck's like really stupid.
Yeah.
Sean was playing basically mono red aggro with like some Gore Clan Rampagers.
Yeah, it was like a gruely type deck, pretty mm-hmm.
bunch of mountains and doing damage. I played Self Mill because you know we were talking about that today.
Yeah.
So,
it was really cool to watch.
I had a real good Golgari deck. We opened a lot of Golgari rares.
How many Golgari cards did you have in that deck?
Of the 23 cards I played, 14 of them were gold cards with the green and black mana symbols.
Mm.
So it was real good.
Whoa.
You had Jared.
To
Jared.
I got to curve. I had Jared a curve where I was like Varols into the guy that doubles counters into Jared all in a row. My opponent was just kind of thought it was funny. He's like, what's going on? I think like a Grisly Salvaged on turn two also or something dumb. So it was good.
That was fun.
And Ben played everything else.
Yay, everything else.
Was that fine for you to play that many colors? You guys probably had a lot of gates.
We all played green, all three of us.
Yeah, we all played green. I had it was like a Simic deck mostly, and splashing white.
It was Simic on like turns 1 through 4, and then after that it was the everything deck.
Yeah, I had 2 Axebane Guardians, so it taps for any color mana, and per defender you have.
Yep.
And I had 4 defenders in the deck. And then I also had Gyre Sage, which is a creature with evolve, and the more it evolves, the more mana it makes. And I had some other fixers and just a bunch of gates. And in the main deck, I was running Borborygmos.
Nice.
Which is an 8 drop.
No problem.
It's an 8 drop, 7/6 with trample. And it like draws you lands, and it can discard lands to deal 3 damage to anything.
Matthias called him Bobo.
Yeah.
Bobo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet card. Very good in Momir Basic. Also very good if you can cast it.
Yes, you also had an 11 drop, I saw.
I had a World Spine Worm.
This is crazy.
An 11 mana, 15/15 with trample. And if it dies, you get, you know, 3/5/5s.
No, yeah.
With trample.
Value.
We almost played an Aurelia the War Leader too, but we determined it actually just wasn't big enough.
Yeah, not good enough.
Weird.
It only deals 6.
Was it a fun format?
Oh, it was very fun, yeah. I played some aggro decks, which was unfortunate for me.
Yeah.
But I managed to win two of my matches.
And you went 2-2, yeah.
Yeah, I went 2-1-1. I drew 1 match.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that was fun. Deck takes a while to get going, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But that was very fun. I was very glad to have the opportunity to cast both Borborygmos and Worldspine Worm in 1 game.
He killed the Borborygmos, but it was okay. He had a backup plan.
We also played Mini Masters.
That was my highlight of the weekend.
You won the whole Mini Masters tournament.
I was the Mini Master.
Yes,
yeah,
you were.
That was sweet. So Mini Masters is a ridiculous format where you play 30 card decks, and you open one booster and build a 30 card deck, and then if you win, you get another one, and you add it to make a 30 card deck.
I thought I would be mad when I had to add my second one. I thought I would be like, this is stupid. Like, this is like just a really lame constructed. But it turned out I liked it.
Yeah.
No, it was a sweet event. It was actually, there were a lot of, it was because everyone who entered the Grand Prix, Legion events had this thing where you got to play a Mini Master for free. And if you won, if you were the Mini Master, I think it was 64 people in a flight, then you got your entry fee back and you got a sleeping special.
Wow.
And so there were a lot of like pros in my flight. Like I played against Shitian Lee, who knocked me out of the pro tour by beating me twice, but I got my revenge.
I mini-mastered him.
Barely, but it helped. The first try I opened was Hydra make XXXs.
Broodmaster?
Yeah, that was good.
Appropriate for Mother's Day.
A lot of times when people open one booster pack, they can have no cards in it that can answer that.
No, at all.
So
I don't
you
think
cast
so.
It, and then you just win. But eventually my deck became more of a real deck. I think the first time I was playing something like 18 lands, 12 spells.
How many packs did you end up adding all told?
Six packs, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. In the end, it's a sealed.
It's like better. It's better. It's your deck's really good by the end. My deck was, at the end of it, I think it was straight blue-green. I went from being five colors all the way down to two by the end.
That's so cool.
It was all one and two drops and like mana accelerants at two. And then I had two polymorphous rushes. So I would just like play like five creatures at the beginning of the game and then my opponent would play something big. And then I'd be like, make all my guys into your big thing kill you.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
You guys, you know what else happened?
What up?
At this GP?
Did you find a treasure?
Yes, and that treasure was Marshall Sutcliffe of Limited Resources gave me a hug.
Whoa. Nice work.
Thank you.
I also talked to Marshall.
Oh, did you?
I didn't hug him. Okay.
He initiated the hug with me, I want to point out. I was not creeping on him.
Yeah, no, he didn't hug me. We did open mouth kiss for several minutes.
Wait, just one kiss for several minutes? Like, your mouth's open?
It got kind of, probably, it was kind of gross after a while.
After a while, you're just like, okay. Yeah. I'm getting lockjaw.
Yeah, my jaw did start to cramp up. That was awkward. but shout out to Marshall. Really nice guy.
Yeah. He's going to open a pack from us on his show, Limited Resources.
So if you needed a reason to listen to Limited Resources, now you have one.
You can hear him say, this pack's from Magic the Amateur.
What kind of pack is it?
Journey to Nyx.
Oh, man, what rare do you hope it is?
I hope... Okay.
God pack.
Don't pick
I hope it's a God pack.
Did you give him two packs? What if... That pack was a God pack. You should have given him another pack.
Oh, man. They got to discuss which God are they going to take.
Oh.
You know?
Do they?
Yeah. Which God do you take?
What, in a God pack?
Yeah.
Oh, say, man.
Say it's got to be Farika or Athreos.
Phoenix.
Oh, is it Phoenix?
That's like the best card in the entire block.
What?
Have you ever beaten one?
Matthias.
You just win. They play you win.
Miles. What if you don't play it, though?
You sound like Bill Cosby right now. Jello pudding pop.
No, that card's stupid. They just play Phoenix and they win. You can't stop it.
Okay.
All right. I would
first pick the Phoenix.
I'm going to trust you.
Wow.
All right, Marshall. You heard it here first.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's like another answer that you could give that's like reasonable. I don't know.
Farika really good?
Yeah.
What about Athreos?
Wasn't Athreos really good?
No, I don't even know if Athreos is that good.
What? My world.
I don't think, in limited, because like, what is it? I have to pay some life or you get your stuff back?
Yeah.
Right? Well, okay, well, if you have a good card, I'll pay two, and if the card doesn't matter, I'll let you have it back. Okay.
Okay.
That's a real harsh way of putting it, but I guess I see
that. That's probably what everybody will do. It's like, you'll get their crappy cards back, and the good ones won't come back.
Mm. Mm.
That'll be how it works.
Also, you have to assume that they're taking the second best god.
Yeah.
So like maybe Phoenix is best just to put their god into the graveyard.
Side note, if you do open a god pack, you're usually okay to ask for a new pack. You don't have to actually
use
that.
Just keep it.
Yes.
It's really sweet. Mm. Drafted. It would really screw up your draft.
I'm only going to draft with gods. They're all god packs. I mean, it's triple Journey to Nyx, all god packs. Now play
can't
a game.
You can't get devotion for any of them.
Can't you?
I don't think so. If you had all the green cards, that's still like, you'd need every god to turn on. Okay. And you could only turn on the Theros gods. It's like, oh, this is terrible. Dude, this format sucks because everything's legendary too. I think
this format is terrible.
I think you go on the place that the other person mills first or something stupid like that. Or like Karanos kills people,
yeah,
I guess.
You could only have one. Well, you could have, you know, I could have several different gods.
Yeah.
But only one of the same.
But they're not going to turn on. They're not going to ever get devoted. So you just have to like... You'll be like taking turns like bolting people with Karanos and hitting each other with 2/1 enchantments. And that'll be like the format.
Sounds awesome.
Sounds true. So next time you have an A-Man draft and everyone opens a god pack, that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Mm.
card of the week. Okay, Ben, now you may talk about your card of the week.
Well, we already talked about Interpret the Signs, but here's the story with Rise of Eagles.
Go.
I cast this thing, and I had the...
You get two tutus.
Yeah, and birds. And when they're not only that, but they're enchantments.
Enchantment birds.
And so they trigger constellation cards. Oh, and so I had the green 2/3 that gives creatures +1/+1.
That's really good.
It's really good, and it turned my 2/2 flyer into a 4/4 flyer, and I got to swing with it.
Nice.
But here's where things get embarrassing, because I proceeded to forget that those tokens existed, because you know they're off to the side.
Oh no, poor little birds!
I'd drawn so many cards off my Sphinx.
I love the tokens from this set, from the Theros block. Pretty. They're so pretty. And I never cared really about tokens before, but now I carry like a token for everything.
It's because they're sparkle birds.
I now have to carry two of those birds in my wallet because I lost that game because I forgot that I had two flyers.
You're trying to like remind
yourself. My opponent, like 6 mana to scry one.
My opponent Polymorphous rushed me and attacked for 9 while I was at 9.
Well,
and I'm like, well, I guess I lose.
Was your opponent you have those birds?
Oh, my opponent knew what he was doing.
He's like, well, I guess you lose.
My opponent was like, he has not been attacking with those birds. He forgot those birds exist.
What a jerk! I would have said something. I'd be like, well, you can block with your birds.
Why would you say that?
Because I don't want him to lose because...
I tell you afterward.
A dumb, like, mistake.
Yeah, but, you know, people want to win. I think that's a perfectly valid strategy. And he deserved, like, it worked, so he deserved to win. I did win the match, though.
I want to win an honest game. I don't know. That's I tell an people.
Honest game.
Yeah.
It's just like your opponent forgot about the
yeah,
birds.
Yeah, but I totally lulled him into a false sense of security.
Because then you destroyed him.
Yeah, and that was the draft I ended up winning. Now, the other thing that I did not remember to do at any point during that draft was to scry one. Because Rise of Eagles...
Yeah.
Also lets you scry one.
That's weird.
So, interesting note, your opponent can't let you forget to scry one.
That is an interesting note.
Yeah.
But if your opponent doesn't scry one of Rise of Eagles, you can't let that slide. You both get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Because it's not a mistrigger, it's part of the card. It means you didn't resolve the card right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remember that, guys.
Yeah, write that down. Write down scry one.
They have to scry.
On your hand so you remember.
A knuckle tat.
Scry one.
Scry one. My card of the week is Deicide.
Deicide?
Deicide, is that how you say it? Deity, yeah.
Deicide.
It's Deicide, and the reason is because in Limited, you don't always get to use this card for the fun way that people use it in Constructed.
Kill the god.
To kill the god.
Kill that god, yo.
I killed a god with it.
Did you find another one in their deck?
And then I got to search their deck!
Did they have one?
No.
Did they say yes?
No.
Oh,
they didn't. But it was pretty cool because he played out a Heliod, and I think he was just like, what are you going to do? Absolutely nothing about this indestructible god. And I was like, Deicide, like, immediately.
Wow. They didn't even make it to the end of the turn?
No.
Wow.
No. And it was like, I was holding it, and
the
I was
next
like...
Time the next moment I have priority for killing it.
Yo, jerk. That god's gonna be summoning sick when I kill it.
He was so like, I got this game, and I was like, what do you have?
Which god was it?
Heliod.
Oh man, Heliod is the one you most want to kill.
With that, yeah.
If you're flavor.
Flavorfully.
Flavorfully, you have to kill Zanagos.
Oh yeah, it's Zanagos, never mind.
Mm.
Okay.
Because Elspeth.
I don't think Elspeth is really getting along with Heliod either, you know what I'm saying?
Why?
They were like buddies. They're both mono white.
They were, but I think they're kind of falling out. I think Heliod kind of blames Elspeth for the whole Zanagos thing, if
what
you know what I'm
do?
Saying.
What did she do?
She didn't stop it fast enough.
Okay, because Heliod's doing a lot of work. Sitting up there on his golden throne. His toilet is made of gold. And he has to poop a lot.
All right, Deicide, good card.
Yep.
Rare. It's a rare card.
You know, you're not always going to kill a god with it, but
no.
You can run one enchantment removal just fine.
Yes, and this, I mean, it is better. It's faster and cheaper than all the other enchantment removal.
Yep.
Doesn't let you scry two.
No.
But other than that, it's just way better. It doesn't let you gain 3 life.
No.
But other than that, way better.
Do you want this? Okay, say you're any color. Which one do you choose? Enchantment removal. What card do you want?
What? Huh? Any color?
Any enchantment removal spells?
Yeah.
This Destructive one. Revelry.
I choose this one.
Okay.
You think Destructive Revelry is better?
Probably.
Okay.
It's like, I want an instant if I have all the choices.
Cause... Well, I hope Marshall's pack he opens is all enchantment removal.
Yeah. You want to see Deicide in that pack?
Yeah.
Nice. That's probably, is that a first pickable card?
I don't think you want to first pick enchantment.
Okay, just because there's so much other.
It's like first picking, I mean, if you don't first pick Revoke Existence, and it's not that much better.
Okay, party pooper.
I know.
What if it's a flavor draft?
It depends. If it's a foil Deicide and there's a god in your pack and you're going to pass the god, so you can take the foil Deicide and then you can kill the god of the guy who passed it.
What if a god pack has been opened and someone
passes it? You'll know it's been opened because that guy's going to be like, woo, god pack, and tell them about it.
Yeah.
And for some reason you're drafting it now, then you should take that Deicide. Meta the whole table.
Nice.
Side note, I want to do a flavor draft. Matthias, what's your card of the week?
All right, well, I have to go back to the blue commons. Because Ben is Rise of Eagles.
Mm.
This is for drafts.
There's room for everyone.
There's whatever you want.
No. I really like Pinned to the Earth.
Oh.
So this is a 2-mana blue aura that gives a guy -6/-0, and that's it.
But it does not lose flying.
No, that's really weird, actually. It probably should lose.
Yeah, I saw an AMA with the lead designer of this set, and somebody said, why doesn't Pinned to the Earth remove flying? And he said, where were you when we were playtesting this? It's an oversight, and he admitted
blaming the victim.
He admitted it.
Dude, there's some weird stuff. I want to talk to designers about. I have some questions. Like, why is that? What is it? Why did the Make Sphinxes card uncommon? Anyway, Pinned to the Earth is really sweet because blue has, like, sets and bounce. But I actually think it's way underrated because right now what everybody's doing is they're putting a bunch of auras on a guy and you can bounce it but then they get to recast it and Pinned to the Earth -6/-0 basically
that's a lot, it's
like killing the creature as long as you aren't the deck that attacks, and like I don't like playing decks that attack, I like doing nothing, so it's basically like my kill spell in the set.
But are you worried that it can just sit and block you forever? Probably
but
not.
I don't attack, see. What if I just like want to sit here and do nothing and just like, you know, maybe win with some rare, or like maybe mill you, or you know, just like have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in blue, you probably got a flyer.
I want to play Pinned to the Earth, and then I want to tap the starfish like 7 times, and then after I've tapped him 7 times, I probably won.
Okay, you saw me today. I'm playing this.
He won you an
match.
Entire game.
My Scryfish won me. He won me the
entire game.
Wow.
And I had like Celestial Archon out. I had like. Some all those Dolans who make me my battles countless and make my guys first strikers, and that Scryfish is what won me the game.
The Archon is like how he won it for you, but like it was the Scryfish.
Yes, it was. I scryed like 8 times off that fish, and it was like I to the point where I would not want to block with him because I didn't want to lose him.
It's like the bottom of your deck is like 5 lands right now or something.
I'm like, I don't care, I want this fish.
Guys, nugget time.
Okay, nugget time.
If you tweet at MTAcast a picture on Magic Online of a Scryfish enchanted with Pinned to the Earth, I will send you 1 pack of Journey into Nyx that may or may not have been drenched in Chinese food sauce.
That happened today.
I thought this was a Megan nugget.
This is a Megan nugget. Megan has to. She has to tell us about the challenge.
Okay.
And then also at the end of the show, we're gonna put a decoy nugget, so that if she just listens to the end, she'll hear that nugget and we'll know she didn't listen to the whole podcast.
Decoy nugget. So, okay, I have to do a creative card.
Is decoy nugget?
It's decoy nugget, and what it is it's like a gold, like it's like a gold token.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But when you tap it, it just goes away.
Oh, no.
Oh, how about this? How about this? It's a gold token. You can sacrifice it for a mana.
Yeah.
Any spell that is cast using this mana is countered.
Oh, no. Don't do it.
Decoy nugget. Like, what if it was like that on Magic Online? Like, every so often you get your gold token, but It could be a decoy nugget.
I feel like this would add a lot of realism to the game of Magic if just once in a while you tapped a land for mana, it's like, no, it didn't work.
Isn't that the beta client?
Boom! Ah, boom!
Sick bird. Sorry, Worth.
I have a last note on Pinned to the Earth.
Yeah.
Coolest play I saw with it.
Yeah.
Or game. I had a Pinned to the Earth, and I Pinned to the Earth my opponent's Ferris Band Tromper.
Ooh.
And I was like, I couldn't block it, and I was like, all right, he's got a long path ahead of him. And it just, like, slowly he started coming back.
He worked his way back up to a 1.
To a 1-7.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh, no, he's going to become relevant again. He's up to negative 1-5.
And it's like, I got to last breath him quick.
Well, that's our show, ladies and gents. Kids and Animals. Matthias, yeah. Thank you for being our guest again this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
If people want to chat you up, how can they do that?
Well, you can follow me at MTG Matthias on Twitter. On Twitch, I'm streaming at The Meadery on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m.
Ooh. What do you stream?
Sometimes 6. I am streaming right now. I stream combo decks, basically.
Ooh.
And I do daily events a lot of the time. Or, you know, and sometimes they're competitive and sometimes they're just pretty sweet. But it's at The Meadery.
You have a good stream.
Wow, thank you.
I was gonna get through that until I looked at Ben smiling.
I'm smiling because I know what you're thinking in your brain, Rhea. I am only a mirror, a psychic mirror, reflecting back onto you what you know to be true.
Deep. Now reflect what I'm thinking now.
If you want us to reflect onto you, listeners, send us a tweet at MTAcast, or you can email us at magicTheAmaturing@gmail.com. You like websites?
I do.
We got a website.
Yes.
It's www.magicTheAmaturing.com.
Yeah, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can put it on your list on Stitcher, or you can just head over to mtgcast.com and click that one.
Or you can kiss a stranger and let them know about Magic the Amateur. Tell them Magic the Amateur sent you.
Don't kiss them for, like, you know, what was it, 5 minutes?
Don't open mouth kiss them. Come on.
This is not getting crazy.
Honestly, you can't open mouth kiss a stranger because once you start, you know them.
You're not a stranger anymore.
Oh, we have to do the nugget for Megan.
Oh, Megan Nugget.
Megan Nugget. Megan.
False nugget. I mean,
Megan, the nugget is the words false nugget.
Okay. Great.
Great. Nice work, Rhea.
I screwed it up. It's like I milled myself.
You milled the last card. Oh no.
Until next time, listener, try not to mill yourself unless you got a laboratory maniac. Later.
Bye.